This is Sports Saturday with Brad Porter on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
And welcome in for hour number two of Sports Saturday, Sports Radio 810 WHB in Kansas City and across the Midwest. 50,000 watts blasting out, plus the app. 810WHB.com is where you can go to get that. Jed Marshall is here as well. We're in the Rally House Studios. Jed, are you in the Ford driver's seat that I've heard so much about over the last few weeks?
I think you would actually be in the Ford driver's seat.
Would I be in the Ford driver's seat?
I don't know. I always just call that the captain's chair.
Okay.
I'm behind the glass, so I'm just in my comfortable chair. I don't know. I'll gladly sit in the Ford driver's seat anytime.
Trying to take care of the people who support Sports Radio 810 WHB. Back from a little vacation, got out to Colorado for a week where it was never hotter than about 74 degrees.
So, yeah, you obviously suck because of that. But ironically, I have a friend who went to Colorado this weekend. I found this out last night. He and his wife and their two lovely children, they're camping for a wedding in Pueblo, Colorado.
Okay.
I found out that it will be cooling down today, but down to 96.
Wow. Well, Pueblo is very different from where I was in the mountains.
Sure.
So very different.
I just think it's funny that he was like, oh, yeah, it'll be nice and cool. We'll get away, go to Colorado. Nope. Same as it is here.
Well, I spent most of the time in Vail, but we got to go to Glenwood Springs for a day, and it's very different from Vail. It's not the tall aspen trees. It's more like desert mountains. Went for...
Big fan of Colorado trees.
Horseback ride and... some of the most beautiful country you ever would see.
Sure.
Anywhere.
Yeah.
So
I'm sure this is what Seth wanted to hear.
Yes, I know. Seth Kaiser wanted to hear all about my vacation while he's up in Minnesota. Seth, I'm sure you were hanging on every word as I talked about horseback riding in Glenwood Springs, right?
I couldn't put the phone down. It was crazy. But I will say the most beautiful country in the world, I hate to correct you,
okay,
is found in eastern Montana in the Badlands. So I, you know, just needed to correct you a little bit.
Okay.
There.
Well, you know what? I have not been there, so I cannot judge. I should qualify what I said as some of the most beautiful country I have ever been to.
Oh, sure, sure.
I will take note, though, of Montana and the Badlands and try to find some time to get up there. How about that?
You absolutely should. There's like no speed limit, so you can.
Ooh.
It's like terrifying roads on the edges of cliffs, and you're driving 110. It's hilarious.
I don't know. When Colorado increased the speed limit to 75 several years ago, I was relieved because it cut like an hour off my trip. And then Kansas, when you get out to central and western Kansas, is now up to 75. I'm down with that. I don't know if I'm driving 110 around cliffs, though. Hey, how about Chiefs football? We know there's no offseason. Training camp is around the corner. Yep. And you've been posting great material at the Athletic KC since you were hired several weeks ago. And, again, just good stuff and glad you're getting a wider audience there. The post you put up yesterday, and I'm going to read it directly. You put this on Twitter. The final edition of Beyond the Arm series, which is your series about quarterbacks, looks at Patrick Mahomes' football intelligence and intangibles, which go largely ignored because of his physical talent. If you're looking to slow down the hype train, do not read this. So you are more in on Patrick Mahomes now than you were before.
I am. Virtually every time I research Patrick Mahomes a little bit more, I'm a little bit more in on him. So what I did for this one, I don't know Patrick Mahomes personally, never met the guy, and so I can't speak as to his, you know, directly as to his football intelligence. All I can do is look at the available evidence, right? And so that's what I did. I scoured the edges of the internet for every article that I could read on him from the time he was in high school. And what I found is consistently what is talked about him a lot that somehow went under the radar during draft season was the fact that he's always been considered a smart player. And the reason I wanted to really look into that is because for one reason or another, I'm not sure how it happened or why it happened. I think I might know, but there's no reason to get into that. There were people talking on my timeline about, well, you know, what if Mahomes is struggling to pick up the offense? You know, he's basically a rookie, which I've never understood the idea of basically a rookie. That You've either been in the NFL for a year with your full-time job being to learn the playbook, or you haven't. There's no, like, you know, sort of there.
Maybe it would be in terms of execution as opposed to understanding the playbook. Can you execute
right, which,
it?
But, that I can understand, the idea of executing on the field and that kind of stuff. But what I've seen is people actually saying, well, you know, you might not pick up the playbook. And to be honest, that's one of those things that's easy to say. But what does that mean? You know what I mean? It's one of those things that it's very easy to say without really delving into what do you really mean by that.
Right.
And, you know, historically, with rookie quarterbacks over the last 20 years or second-year quarterbacks over the last 20 years, how many of them have seemed to literally not understand their playbook? And so at a certain point, my argument to people is that you're eventually saying, well, I think Patrick Mahomes is a little bit slower than a lot of other rookies. And so I wanted to take a look at how he's done. And so I stumbled across some really great articles that were written pre-draft about his role in his college offense. One of them was written by Doug Farrar at Bleacher Report. And he sat down and talked football with him and chatted with him about audibles and all that stuff. And what you find out is that by the time he was a junior, Mahomes had the power to audible from any play in the playbook to any play in the playbook. In other words, he had complete and total authority over the offense at the line of scrimmage.
And Texas Tech is a very complicated offense.
It's an air raid offense, and so people often say, well, it's an air raid offense, so it's only like, you know, three plays.
No.
But that is not – Cliff Kingsbury, his offense is not just a standard air raid. It's not like it's just this high school offense. That anyone who believes that, and I mean no disrespect to anyone, that's being willfully ignorant. Is it Andy Reid's offense and the phone book thick? No. But it's complicated enough that it's someone figuring it all out to have complete control at the line of scrimmage, which is a rare thing for a college quarterback, right? Having the ability to audible into any play you want. And so when you look at that, and remember, this was by the time he was a junior. And then when you look back and you realize he only started playing quarterback when he was a junior in high school. So over a four-year time period, he went from a guy who literally didn't play quarterback to a guy who was given complete control over an offense. That's impressive.
And as I was thinking about it while you were talking, it would be the perfect combination of not only being ridiculously gifted athletically, but as you say, marrying that with the brains and the smarts to put that together. Because he could have played pro baseball. He's talented and gifted enough to play pro baseball. But to only play football for that short a period of time and be given the reins to a Power 5 offense is impressive.
Yes. And then you can also look, I read some great articles about him when he was coming out of high school. Because like you said, he could have played professional baseball. He was considered coming out of high school a pretty hot prospect because he could throw a 95-mile-an-hour fastball. He played every position except catcher. He batted 500. I mean, he was a stud. He went to Tech to play baseball as well, but he decided to focus on football. And one quote that really stood out to me from his high school coach in baseball, you know, he talked about, you know, how great he was. He said, you know, obviously he's a great pitcher. He's a great center fielder. He played every position except catcher. He said, also, he is the smartest player I've ever coached. It's like having a coach on the field. That is not a, you know, people like to make comparisons to this guy or that guy, but that is not some wild gunslinger who's just getting by on his physical talent. Now, obviously, that's a different sport. But intelligence is intelligence, right? And so you see quotes like that, and then the final thing that you look at, in addition to, okay, he was given all this power at Texas Tech to change to any play, like you said, he's given the full reins of the Power 5 offense, and then pre-draft, Andy Reid told the press, he locked himself in a room with Mahomes for, you know, 4 to 6 hours and grilled him and tried to crush him. To just really, you know, just crush him to see, well, okay, you know, what do you really know about football? And Andy Reid, one of the brightest football minds on earth, walked out of that meeting impressed. That's pretty cool.
And for the Chiefs to have the guts to trade up and get him, to identify him and say, this is the guy, when they could have gotten other guys, or they could have waited a year or two, tells you how much Andy Reid trusts him.
Exactly. And that's
because I'm not sure there's a quarterback in this latest draft that I would have taken over Patrick Mahomes, just knowing what I know now. Not looking into the future, just knowing what I know now.
Right.
Patrick Mahomes is still the guy that fits.
I agree. I think he's got the when we saw little things too, and you know, I didn't write about this too much. When you talk about intangibles, those are tough to talk about. But when you think about how deferential he was to Alex Smith last year, not all guys coming in are going to be like that. And then this year, you see the difference in his quotes. You see the difference in his interactions with his teammates. Like Travis Kelce was talking about the difference with him this year. That he was more take charge, that he realized he was the guy and just, you know, had to be the one. Andy Reid talked about how much more vocal he is during practice, telling guys where to be and what to do. You see a guy who has the understanding of what his role was last year, right? Last year he was a kid whose job was to shut up, sit in the corner, and learn everything. And to be able to transition from that to, this is my team now, that's not an easy thing to do with a bunch of guys that are older than you and, you know, an all-pro like Kelce, but yet he did it. And so I wanted to really take a look at the things that we can't chart and the things that we can't quite see. And at least based on everything we know, he seems to really have the goods with regards to that intangible stuff and the mental acuity. And I don't think people talk about it enough. And my theory is that if he had an average arm, people would talk about what a smart quarterback he is. But because he's got this incredible arm, they don't.
And that's good stuff to talk about. And I appreciate you bringing up that point and all the good stuff here. And I think Alex Smith also, you brought him up. And mm-hmm. I think it was important, or at least in this case, it was important for Patrick Mahomes to be able to be around a guy like Alex Smith. Because look, when they drafted Patrick Mahomes, I'm sure Alex Smith, the first thing he thought was, well, my time's up. But he never said anything publicly about the situation. He did his job, and he did it very well. Whereas you look at, you know, Pittsburgh, and, you know, they draft Dobbs, and Ben Roethlisberger goes off. I don't know why they drafted a quarterback. What do they need another quarterback for? That's already, regardless of the apologies. Well, I was just, you know, blah, blah, blah. That's already a toxic situation. Every time those two players see each other, Ben Roethlisberger is going to know he doesn't want him to be there, and that kid's going to know Ben Roethlisberger doesn't want me here. Patrick Mahomes was never made to feel that way.
And that's really – Alex Smith deserves so much credit, and a lot of people have talked about it, and Andy Reid made sure to talk about it at length in their first press conference. He deserves an incredible amount of credit for how he handled all of this. And I do think there's so much value in Mahomes being able to sit for a year and see, because regardless of how fans were, you know, some fans were all in on Alex Smith, some fans really didn't like Alex Smith, some fans were kind of on the fence. Regardless of how fans viewed him, that locker room adored Alex Smith, and they followed Alex Smith. And so it's a year for Mahomes to sit there and, okay, what is Alex doing that's causing, and it's not like Alex is, you know, Aaron Rodgers where he's, you know, lighting things up and that's why people would follow him naturally. As a decent but not great quarterback, he still had the whole locker room follow him, and Patrick Mahomes got to observe, well, how's he getting them to do this? And he talked about that. He said he noticed Alex every day was there at 6 a.m., including Mondays, their day off. And so Mahomes talked about why he realized, okay, I got to work harder than everyone else. And just those little lessons he picked up, and the fact that he did pick those lessons up, right? He didn't come in and say, well, I'm the new kid in town. I can throw a football 90 yards. You know, I can, you know, I could throw it through a man's chest if I wanted to. I can do no look passes.
Right.
I don't need to do all of this. Instead, he really tried to take what Alex did and apply that to himself. And that's the really cool thing about Mahomes, seeing what he does moving forward. And on a final note, with regards to the mental acuity, I did include, you know, one play where he noticeably in that Week 17 game Denver was blitzing like crazy that game. And we can talk about, you know, whether or not, you know, they only played their starters half the game, this, that, and the other. They were blitzing constantly.
Von Miller I thought he was going 100% in that game. Everybody thinks Denver was laying back because they weren't going to make the playoffs. I thought Von Miller was going 100%.
Oh, absolutely. Some of these guys, they're not wired. You know, Von Miller, he plays for the Broncos, and he used to take some cheap shots. He doesn't seem to as much anymore. So it's, but, you know, he's a hard guy not to like in certain respects, and I know that's going to lose me some followers.
Well, he bought all the Chiefs players a bottle of wine that one year.
Yeah, he did, and he always plays hard. I mean, you could just watch the tape. That's not a guy who's letting up. I mean, you know, when he was in on that last incredible play Mahomes made, he was clearly going for it. That's why Mahomes had to, you know, sprint out of the pocket and, you know, make that crazy throw to Robinson. But anyway, what was interesting to me was watching the Broncos' game plan was clearly they sent a ton of zone blitzes after him, which zone blitzes, that's like the enemy of a young quarterback because that's about as confusing as it gets because your pre-snap reads are lying to you. And it didn't really mess with him that much. And one of the plays that I demonstrated was just a play where he shifted his protection to the right, recognized that they had an overload blitz coming on the right side of the offensive line. So he shifted the protection that direction and sent Anthony Sherman into the flat on the other side and left an unblocked edge rusher on that side and then just casually tossed the ball over that edge rusher's head into Sherman's arms. He made an adjustment pre-snap based on what he saw in a zone blitz situation. Now, here's the deal. That's just one play, right? But the fact that he did that in his rookie year with only 1 week as the guy, you know, prepping as a starter, to me, it's demonstrative of the fact that this idea that, you know, he can't pick up the playbook or, you know, that for some reason, there's lots of guys who pick up playbooks their rookie year. Now, maybe it's a slightly more simplified version, et cetera. But I've seen people talking about this idea that he might not pick up the playbook in his second year. And I just think to myself, unless you think that he is less intelligent than a bunch of other quarterbacks who have come out in the last 20 years, there's no reason to think that. And so that's one reason why I really wanted to look at what does the evidence tell us about his mental acuity. And every scrap of evidence we have is that he's a sharp guy.
Well, and that's great that, you know, having the platform at the Athletic KC that you were able to spend time, dig through stuff from 5, 6, 7 years ago and provide us with that information. I think that's just fantastic, and that's one of the reasons that website is so good, and I'm glad you landed there. We're talking with Seth Kizer from the Athletic KC, writes about the Kansas City Chiefs, does video breakdowns. We're coming up on training camp here. As you said earlier, it's ridiculous that we call this the rookie season for Patrick Mahomes, okay? Start from there. So year two, going into training camp, it'll be, you know, Tyreek Hill is back, Travis Kelce is back, Kareem Hunt has a year under his belt, and Sammy Watkins is coming in for the first year. The offensive line is basically intact. What are the most important things you're looking for from training camp? You're not going to see a lot of video because the Chiefs don't allow TV stations to shoot more than 5 or 6 minutes of them jogging around in their shorts and stretching. But what would you be looking for this training camp to get ready for the season?
You know, training camp is always difficult. The only practices I ever care about in terms of offense versus defense are when they have pads on and they're full contact.
Which they don't have very many of now.
Correct. And, yeah, the collective bargaining agreement is what it is. Because if there's not full contact, it's tough to get a good gauge of especially wide receivers and offensive linemen. You know, we all remember every year wide receivers tearing it up in non-contact practices. Well, that's because they're not getting pressed. Now, that's what made us kind of skeptical when Tyreek Hill was tearing it up and then he did what he did. So you just never know. What I'm going to be looking for, I'm hoping to make it down to training camp for a day or two. What I really want to look for, and this will be a tough thing for people to, like you said, you know, you only get video of people jogging around. So I want to see Mahomes lining people up. I want to see Mahomes, you know, having a connection with his receivers, you know, seeming to know where they're going, what they're doing, just chemistry within the offense. Now, I think they're installing some new stuff like Andy Reid does every year. And so I just don't put too much on that. And so beyond that, a big thing I'm going to be looking at is how Speaks and O'Daniel and Watts are looking out there, because I think a lot of the season really does depend on how those guys do, like whether or not just one or two of them can contribute early. And so those will be guys I'm really going to keep an eye on. Speaks, I was not too sure about. I'd really like to see how he does in individual drills against offensive linemen, see if he's showing the ability to win one-on-one.
We're talking with Seth Kaiser. Follow him on Twitter, at RealMNChiefsFan. Also read his work on The Athletic KC, which he usually links to through his Twitter account. A couple of final things for you, Seth. First of all, are you a fan of the other kind of football, as in soccer, meaning World Cup?
You know, unfortunately, I'm not. I see everyone getting into it, and I get jealous of that. I love sports. I just never got into it. It's such a unique event, and it's cool watching entire countries freak out. But I never got into soccer. I don't understand it. I know there's a lot more to it than what I see when I watch it. It's kind of like, so when my wife watches football games with me, she's finally figured out how to follow the ball. Like, that was a big moment for her. But to her, she just sees a bunch of giant dudes falling down. That's what she sees.
Right.
And I'm like, no, there's so much more to it. It's a beautiful sport. And I'm like, I go off, and she politely pretends to listen because she loves me. So when I watch soccer, I just see guys running around and kicking a ball. Like, I know there's way more to it than that. I think it's called the beautiful game or whatever.
Yes.
I just can't see it. And at this point in my life, I've got 5 kids and 3 jobs and all, you know, I just don't have time to learn anything new.
Well, with the great thing for me, I fell in love with soccer in 94 when the World Cup came to the U.S. And I didn't understand what was going on. I just knew that I needed to be around it for some reason. And then I had to take the time to study it and learn about the triangles and those kind of things. And now people post passing charts on Twitter, and watching the game unfold there's a science to it. It's very
cool.
Much like American football. There's a science to it. And
right.
You know, when I watch the National Football League, I don't always watch the ball. I'm watching other things. What's right. Open, who's missing their blocks, that kind of thing. And then when the ball is put in play, that's when I catch up to it. So I've watched it 2 different ways my whole life, but that's mm-hmm. kind of like with soccer. I had to learn it. Guys like Andy Edwards, who I worked with in television for years from NBCSports.com, had to teach me a lot about the science of it.
Seth, it's all triangles. If you just look for triangles, literally that's how I learned how to watch soccer.
Really? It's all triangles.
It's all triangles. Look, watch the passing. It's all triangles, aside from the crosses and the whip-ins, but it's all triangles.
The basic strategy of the game.
Yeah.
If you just look for triangles going down the field, you'll be able to figure the game out pretty easily. It's
no kidding. I'm learning something today. That's good to know.
Well, you teach us things about the Chiefs and the National Football League. We can throw something back your way.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, just watch when they're going down the field, particularly in the midfield, it's all triangles. Guys line up in
triangles.
And they pass in triangles. Yeah.
Interesting. That and like seriously, I've watched soccer games with friends, and I never really asked because I didn't want to look stupid, which I don't know why, but you know that's how we are as humans. And I never really asked, and I can tell you, I literally have never seen a triangle. But now I'm sure now that I'm looking for it, it's just gonna like click on. It's gonna be that eureka moment.
It's all you'll
and
see, man.
I have you guys to thank for it. I appreciate that.
It'll change your life.
Seth, the whole reason I figured it out was I played a lot of FIFA growing up, and to be any good, you have to figure out the triangles.
See, you know, video games, as always, come through to educate us and enlighten us.
Absolutely. Hey, Seth, I'm glad we could both educate each other on this one, learning about Patrick Mahomes and the mental side and his smarts, as in addition to his physical gifts, and we helped you out with soccer. We had a productive morning here. I think we did well.
We did. I feel like I was going to do some work this morning, but I feel like I've really accomplished enough for one day.
You might want to tune in. Hey, Seth, thank you very much for joining us again. You do great work with the Athletic KC, great website, and a great Twitter account, at RealMNChiefsFan. And hopefully you've got some cool weather up there, and we'll talk to you soon. I appreciate your time, all right?
Thanks for having me.
All right, that is Seth Kizer joining us here. And it's always a teachable moment when Seth joins us, because he does a lot of video analysis. He looks at things that we may not think about or consider, and he went back to Patrick Mahomes' high school life to get his mental side of the game and how he thinks about football. That's a good deep dive.
Yeah, I don't know, Brad. I'm not anything like you. I see it all.
You see it all.
Just see it all, man. It's all crystal clear on the side of the glass.
It's like the end of that Matthew McConaughey movie, Interstellar, at the end when he's trapped in that library thing and all the books are falling into place or whatever.
I don't see all the movies. I see all the angles,
okay,
though.
He kind of sees everything. It's a very strange movie. Anyway, on that note, we will take a quick timeout. We come back, Jed and I will toss some of this around about the Chiefs, maybe a little soccer, scoring update from the World Cup. In fact, every time I've looked up in the last 12 to 15 minutes, this score has changed between France and Argentina. France scored first. Other things have happened, but I'm going to save that until the next segment, and we'll give you the latest update between France and Argentina. We'll get into the Chiefs. Maybe squeeze in a phone call or two, 913-381-1010. That's 913-381-1010. Jed Marshall is here. My name is Brad Porter. You're listening to Sports Saturday live in the Rally House Studios on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
This is Sports Saturday with Brad Porter on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
It's a weekend vibe, kind of vibe I like. Sports Saturday, Sports Radio 810 WHB in Kansas City and across the Midwest. And on your app, which you can get through 810WHB.com. If you missed any part of the show so far, it will be podcasted later today.
It's already podcasted. First hour.
Okay. That's why I noticed you were gone for a while. You just pop out and podcast it right
away?
That's
what I do.
You guys are the best. You're the best. We had Jesse Newell from the Kansas City Star on at 9:30. Talk about the University of Kansas and their search for a new director of athletics. Also talked about LeGerald Vick coming back to the men's basketball program, which was a stunner. It came out late last night. It was odd. Strange.
They took the Chief tactic of putting it out like
Friday night.
Friday night, 5:30, 6 o'clock. Nobody I didn't hear about it until, 7:30. I was eating dinner with one of my buddies, and as I told you, thought he was joking.
Yeah. When you called me last night, did you hear about LeGerald Vick? I'm like, yeah, that was weird.
Really weird.
Strange. So you can get the podcast, 810WHB.com. Also, Seth Kizer, we just wrapped up with from the Athletic KC, who covers the Kansas City Chiefs, talking a lot about Patrick Mahomes. Kind of the deep dive into his past and his maturity level, his intuitive nature about the game, understanding the game more than just the physical tools.
He's essentially Yoda, my takeaway.
I always go Ben Kenobi if I have to go that far.
I'm not a Star Wars nerd.
By the way, did you see, there was a Twitter, I guess it all depends on who you follow. Twitter's been hot garbage for about the last year and a half.
I did send out a tweet yesterday that said Twitter's the most unhappy place sometimes.
It is. It is. If you want to be depressed, angry, mad, go to Twitter.
Or YouTube comments.
You can find it there, or you can share it there. Because everything that happens every second of the day must be attacked or defended. If I tweeted out 5 minutes from now, if I tweeted out, I think I'm going to stop by the ice cream store for a scoop of chocolate ice cream.
Idiot.
How can you pick chocolate over vanilla?
Bubblegum.
What about
Superman?
Sherbert? You're forgetting about Sherbert.
Mint chocolate chip, fool, cookie dough all day.
Team
cookie dough. Brad, you're a doofus.
It's hot garbage.
Boo.
It is hot garbage. There was
ice cream, though.
Exactly. Now I'm thinking about it. I might stop for a scoop.
Yeah, I got to get to the soccer match. The next soccer match starts at 1. I'll have just enough time to get out of here at noon. So grab an ice cream cone. Sounds delicious.
I had it on a cake cone. How could you not get a sugar cone? How could you not get a cup? That's Twitter.
Waffle cone,
that's
man.
That's Twitter. I saw the most ridiculous thing yesterday. It was an argument over Star Wars. Okay? Some guy thought it was, I guess we're still talking about The Last Jedi. How could they treat the fans of the old franchise so poorly by killing off Luke Skywalker and Han Solo? And then it went back. The young people said it doesn't matter. The old people said they killed the franchise, and it turned into... I did go down the rabbit hole. I was bored, and I went down the rabbit hole and followed the argument.
You sometimes have to.
Sometimes you do.
I get into, at least with people I enjoy, like Rudy, I think is a cool dude and a funny guy, so I like trolling him. Josh just sent me a tweet that he said he hates me because of what's happened in the World Cup. So there is some good-natured trolling on Twitter.
You're pretty funny about it. It's good, Nate. You can stab somebody and be nice about it.
Well, when your profile says where you work and where you have worked, and then it says sarcasm, nonsense, sports, and frequent naps, I don't think you can really be like, if you're taking what I say like super literally, you're missing the point. I'll tweet out some real stuff from time to time, but the onus of it is just be good-natured, have fun.
Right.
It's Twitter.
That's just Twitter, guys. That's what it used to be. Twitter used to be a pretty fun place.
All the politics.
It's every minute. If I got on Twitter, like today, I woke up at 6:30, getting ready to eat breakfast, and I tune in Twitter, see if I missed any news. Within three tweets read, I found something hateful and alarming.
You have far more Twitter followers than I do, so I wonder if people get after you more.
Me,
no, I understand,
in
but
general.
One of the people I follow describes himself as the angriest man in media. So whenever I read his tweets, when I start my day, I'm like, that's one way to approach it.
Yeah, it's just I try not to be that guy. I don't think I'm angry, but Twitter will bring you down. If you want anger, if you want to either read anger or interact with anger or share your anger, Twitter might be for you.
And if you really want anger, follow at Josh Briscoe, because his Twitter hatred of me and Rudy right now, because we selected Lionel Messi, we were going to talk a little bit about the World Cup.
World Cup update, which Messi has not scored in yet.
Nope.
Okay, the entire time we were talking to Seth Kaiser, and Tommy Moe, I know I've got you on hold. I'm going to get you here in a second. The entire time we were talking to Seth Kaiser, every time I looked up, the score changed. France was up 1-0. The next time I looked up, Argentina was up 2-1. I missed the two Argentina goals, which I'm disappointed that I missed because I like Argentina. I looked down for a second, I looked up, and it's tied 2-2. And then I look up again, and France is up 3-2. Then I look up again, and France is up 4-2. Wah, wah.
Oh, I wish I could have actually played that.
Oh,
it's all right.
Sound effects.
The good news is they'll replay this match tonight on Fox Sports 1.
I can see, okay.
So you'll be able to watch the whole match. You'll be able to watch both matches, I believe.
So France is leading Argentina 4-2. And my original bracket, I had France facing off against Iceland in this round because I had Argentina flipped with the other team in their group that made it through.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I had Iceland beating France. So that,
why?
That blood is because I can't, my bias. I can't stand France.
So you picked literally all with heart, nothing with head.
No, I picked with some head. I picked Mexico and Brazil head to head.
Yeah.
I picked that group accurately. Colombia and England, nailed that.
I think Mexico's in trouble against Brazil.
I picked Mexico to beat Brazil.
I know, but again, picking with your heart, Brad.
I know. It's a mix. It's a mix. It works for me.
I mean, you are crushing me in every bet we've made, so
yes,
I guess I should keep my big fat mouth shut.
I think I'm 3-0, 2-0, 3-0.
Yeah?
3-0, something like that.
And I've paid zero of those, I'd like to point out.
We'll have to take care of that. Speaking of hot takes, let's go to Tommy Moe, who's been patiently waiting. Tommy, thank you very much for joining us on this will soon be a boiling hot Saturday in the Midwest. What's up?
Hey, not much. Let Jed start up. Go ahead, Jed.
Uh-oh.
Hey, Tommy, how are you doing? I hope you're enjoying your Saturday.
We had a little backstory. I don't know if it wasn't on your show, but about a week ago I said I think it was a mistake for Bill Self to let Vic go. I mean, he's a senior. He's been going to school there all 3 years, pursuing a degree, getting better every year. And other than one or two alleged incidents that he's never been convicted of or disciplined for that I know of, maybe disciplined in-house but never disciplined by the school or by the Lawrence Police Department?
He was suspended 2 games his freshman year.
Okay. I said in-house by the team.
No, I'm just pointing out the facts.
Okay. But he got better every year, and like I said, I was the one. I'm glad Bill Self listens to your old radio station because he did, and he's back on the team.
Yeah, that's well, and I know, Tommy, I hate to tell you this, but again, having gone to Kansas and being the big-time donor I am, I have quite a bit of influence around the area. You know, I think it's like prominent alums are like Cliff Illig and then a close second, me. So, yeah, I'm not surprised Bill Self listens. To me, as I mentioned, I thought that the news was erroneous when I was told by my buddy last night, and I still think it's a bad decision. LeGerald Vick is a talented basketball player, sure, and I think that he has freakish athleticism. I think his athleticism could play in the NBA. I don't think his game could play in the NBA. If he continues to improve, maybe. The issue that I have is if you continue to give knuckleheads, for lack of a better term, and I know that he's a college kid, so I feel bad saying that, but I was a knucklehead in college, so I feel like I'm able to kind of discern who is and isn't. If you keep giving them second, third, fourth, fifth opportunities to embarrass your university, at a certain point that will come back on you. I also think, from a purely basketball sense, I don't know where LeGerald Vick is getting minutes on this team.
I keep hearing that about that, and I keep hearing about all these great freshmen. Are the twins from Memphis still on the team, or did their dad talk them out and go back?
No, they're still there.
Yeah, they're both there. One's better than the other.
I mean, those are two solid guys you want on their team. When you got their dad intervening and wanting to go back to Memphis, I'm sure those guys were really those guys didn't embarrass you guys at all, did they? That didn't embarrass you at all.
No, I think it was absolutely embarrassing. But I think
are they going to be given a second chance, or are they written off in your book too?
No, they are getting their second and third chances. Tommy, here's the deal. And I respect all of the things that you're saying. Here's where we disagree. I don't think LeGerald Vick is this transcendent player that you do that necessarily gets all of these chances. When, again, you talk about, well, he's this third-year guy. I'm sorry, do you have LeGerald Vick's transcripts in front of you? Do you know how he's going to class? Do you know how he's doing academically? I appreciate the fact that he wants to stay in school and somewhat pursue his academic endeavor. But at the same time, if a coach, I don't think LeGerald Vick was like, yeah, man, I'm going top five. I think Bill Self was like, hey, buddy, you know, minutes are going to be pretty tight next year, and I don't know where you're going to get a ton, and we've really enjoyed your time here. I hope you enjoyed Lawrence. But I think maybe you should pursue other things. That, to me, is why it's so baffling, because it's Bill Self essentially said, all right, see ya, pal, and then he welcomes him back. That's more what concerns me. I have all the faith in Bill Self that he knows what he's doing, but that is the issue to me.
Okay, if it was after his first year, which we've seen a lot at KU, I understand, and maybe Brandon Green might be the only guy that played multiple years under Bill Self that Bill Self kind of got tired of, but he wasn't a starter.
Carlton Bragg, I think he got pretty tired of.
Go ahead.
I think Carlton Bragg he got pretty tired of.
Was that after 2 years?
Yeah, it was.
Okay. Well, like I said, I just think after a third year, a guy's about ready to get his degree. I don't know his transcripts either. Neither do you.
No.
But obviously he's doing something, because if he didn't have the GPA, he wouldn't be eligible. Okay,
Tommy, so these are certainly my words. Tommy, these are certainly my words. I think that the academic advantages, let's say, that student athletes are given, I don't think it would be very hard to make yourself eligible at a Division I level.
You have to be you really would have to.
You would have to try not to. You would have to try
with all the. I agree with that, but like I said, I just don't want everybody, like I said, I was the only one that was on the LeGerald Vick, so to speak, bandwagon. And the reason was, still to me, going somewhere for 3 years, getting better every year on the court with the statistics, and then all of a sudden saying, no. And then I thought this was no Bill Self doing. All right, if he was going to leave, he was going to have to sit out a year. I didn't think that was fair. Did you think that was fair? If he was asked the door initially,
whether it's fair or not is irrelevant. It's an NCAA rule. I don't think that LeGerald Vick should
have a bad rule.
Again, that's irrelevant. That's not the issue we're talking about. We're talking about Gerald Vick coming back to Kansas and whether it's a good or good not decision from Bill Self and or why Gerald Vick was even brought back. To me, like I said, we can agree to disagree because I know you wanted to talk about Mahomes. I don't see the minutes he's going to have. I also think that if you, again, I didn't talk with Bill Self. I can kind of read the writing that Gerald Vick was sent on his way. And now he's back, so I don't get it.
Well, if I can intervene for a second, I think I'm pretty neutral on this. I did not go to Kansas. I've covered them for 25 years or whatever. The way I look at it is I think we all assumed Gerald Vick was out the door, right? They had the press release. He's going to explore his options, not hire an agent, that sort of thing, and then shock, he's back. So here's how I look at it, and I'll borrow this from Jesse Newell from the Kansas City Star. Kind of like a one-year contract in Major League Baseball. This doesn't really hurt anybody. If Bill Self decides that the minutes are better distributed with the younger players, he can do that. He doesn't have to give Gerald Vick minutes. But if Gerald Vick provides something of value for the team, he can get a few minutes. He can get more minutes. It's a one-year deal. And the other side of that, if you're Bill Self, it's a good look. Because if a player, and particularly players who are active in social media, asked to come back and you said no, who's the first person who's going to tweet about it? La Vic. And then you look like the bad guy. I think this is a win-win for the coach and the player. Now, figuring out the minutes, that'll be the tough part. But I think...
I agree, and the book is not quite done yet, and it'll be done in March or April, and we'll kind of go from there. But two things said Kizer, or no one's really talked about. I'm gonna leave this on this for about, or maybe he has talked about Patrick Mahomes. Two things: why did Baker Mayfield, who was the number one quarterback in the NFL drafted this year, why did he leave Texas Tech?
I don't think he got along with Cliff Kingsbury.
He also wasn't getting playing.
Patrick Mahomes there going, and maybe it was one of those, you know, very situations we just talked about, showing the door with a better guy in Patrick Mahomes. Was that legit? I don't remember when he left from Patrick Mahomes. There's a difference there, but it might have been. Is that why Baker Mayfield left?
Well, Baker wasn't the only quarterback. There have been two or three pretty big time quarterbacks leave Texas Tech, and you would infer by reading things that they didn't get along with Cliff Kingsbury.
Baker was a walk-on there,
and Baker was a walk-on, yeah, right.
Who did play as a freshman or sophomore as a walk-on, am I right?
Yes.
He just wasn't just riding the bench. But all right. And secondly, and this is one thing that has never been brought up, Patrick Mahomes' game, he played the Denver game, played in the third quarter, played in the fourth quarter. Tyler Bray came in and bumbled his way for 5 or 6 minutes. Patrick Mahomes came back in the game and led a game-winning field goal drive. Right. You just don't see it. Usually scenario, the NFL doesn't play out like that. Quarterbacks usually play the whole game. Or when they come out, they're out for good. They don't come back in. I don't remember the last time I saw a quarterback because of injury, had to sit out a series or two. But I don't remember. It was a unique game. It was a unique situation. The winning or losing didn't really make a big deal for the records. But for him to come back in the game and just do what he did, and the game was great. And like I said, I think we're going to see a lot of Patrick Mahomes games like that one. Zero touchdowns, one interception, win. Okay, and that's the bottom line, the win, as he came back and led us to a game-winning field goal. It's just a scenario you just don't really see in the NFL because it just doesn't play out like that.
No, and it was the smart play by Andy Reid. One, when they had the lead, get him out so he doesn't get hurt. But two, when you fall behind, get him back in because you're going to benefit one way or the other. Either he's going to lead the team to a comeback, you're going to boost his confidence, or he'll find a way to fail and learn from it. Great play to put him back in the game. And what you saw from Tyler Bray is everything that we have seen behind the scenes for the last 5 years. Kid just ain't that good.
And
the Chiefs moved on. Tommy Moe, I appreciate your phone call. Thank you very much.
Hey, thanks a lot. I know Jed's headed to Rally House to buy his Gerald Vick jersey.
You know it, Tommy.
All right,
guys.
All right, thank you very much. Tommy's always good for a frank discussion. I know he calls the other shows during the week. So good stuff. A little healthy debate, I guess. But Gerald Vick is back. There's nothing anybody can do about it. The only thing you can do something about it is Bill Self. How's he going to divide up the minutes? What you going to get? You going to start? Not going to start?
I was looking at some. Matt Tate sent out a lineup.
He's got some good stuff.
He had Quentin Grimes starting over Gerald Vick, him being the second guy, the second shooting guard.
I could see that very easily. And with Gerald Vick's outside shooting, great guy to put in when you need a shot.
Yeah, he's Reggie Miller.
Just kidding. He's being sarcastic. Now, but Bill Self will figure out the minutes. He's a qualified coach. You and Tommy had a healthy debate. You warned me ahead of time that you guys were going to could possibly go.
We were talking about this when Cody was in and he was out at the Resurrection Car Show. It came up. And, yeah, Tommy and I started talking about it then. Tommy, obviously, when he called in, I was like, oh, I thought you were calling to take your victory lap.
On that note, we'll give you an update on the World Cup. It is still 4-2, France leading Argentina. They're in added time. They've added 4 minutes on. They are about a minute and a half into those 4 minutes. And the Lionel Messi critique, criticisms, blame will be starting in about 2 minutes. We will take a quick timeout, still to come at 11 o'clock. Andy Edwards from NBCSports.com will join us. He will break down France and Argentina. We'll look ahead to Sporting KC up in Montreal. And we'll look ahead to the second World Cup game of the day. And I'm sure we'll talk about Messi as well. Jed Marshall is here. My name is Brad Porter. You're listening to Sports Saturday. We're live in the Rally House studios on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
This is Sports Saturday with Brad Porter on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Welcome back to Sports Saturday, Sports Radio 810 WHB. Kansas City, across the Midwest, and on the app. You can get through 810WHB.com. We're live in the Rally House studios. Jed Marshall, I am Brad Porter, and the France-Argentina game has gone officially bananas. While we were away, Argentina scored. They still trail 4-3. And then we had the soccer equivalent of the baseball brawl. You know, players come together, and they might shove a little bit, but nothing really happens. Nothing really happens. But it took some time for the referee to sort out. Yellow cards were issued. They've now gone past the 4 minutes of added time because the confrontation lasted so long. And Argentina is going to have a chance to tie this game up. And I cannot do live play-by-play. But now that it's in the past, Argentina just missed their chance to tie it. They had a final shot. They had a chance to tie. Had a chance to keep playing. And that was it. The referee blew the whistle. It's over. Yeah, exactly. Exhale.
That was a sigh.
Frustration. They're showing. They're obviously going to look at Lionel Messi for the next until he leaves the field. He left his last game without shaking hands with his teammates or any of the other players.
I'd like a Diego Maradona. Cam.
Oh, please. Where, you know what? He may not be at the... I have not... Since I'm actually doing a radio show, I haven't been able to watch the whole thing. But
I haven't seen any
the
shots
story
of him.
Was
but that, based off the antics that I heard going on, no, I don't think he's
well,
probably welcome.
FIFA may have asked him not to come to this game. The double bird that he flashed to the crowd the last game.
Yeah, I think that might have been the least of his concerns.
And he was... I think he was fueled by... Some beverages, probably?
Sure. Some beverages. He said that he drank all the white wine, I guess, in Russia.
Okay.
But he's a red wine drinker. And there was also photographs of him being around a white powdery substance.
Ooh.
Which, not shocking. He also, I don't know necessarily when Maradona played. He has not aged well.
No, he played in the 80s. He was on the...
Oh, okay. Well, maybe he's not in as bad a shape.
He was on the 86 World Cup team. Okay. The hand of God.
I knew that. Okay. I couldn't remember if that was 86. All right.
Yeah, he's not at his playing weight, shall we say.
No.
Not even close. He's three Diego Maradonas beyond that. So now and Messi is shaking hands with the French players and his teammates this time. So this is probably This is probably Lionel Messi's last game in an Argentina uniform. He's fake retired before.
He wasn't even supposed to be in this cup.
No, he fake retired before, like kind of like a boxer. He left the tournament and said, I'm done. Can't do it, can't take it anymore. And then, like Godfather 3, he keeps coming back and it gets worse. But anyway, if you've got your World Cup bracket or if you're just a fan, France has defeated Argentina 4-3 in the knockout rounds, and France will move on. And Andy Edwards will join us at 11 o'clock to talk about it. Did you want Argentina to win, or are you anti France?
No, I didn't care. I thought Lionel Messi had the best chance for our team to score more goals.
So I
didn't care. Okay. One of my nephews, who's 8, is cheering for Argentina because he loves watching Messi play.
Right.
So I guess I had a soft spot in my heart for them. I picked Belgium.
Right.
I feel like an idiot because that's who Nate picked.
Right. I like to see great players on the big stage do great things, and Messi being out now is going to leave a deep void on that. I mean, Ronaldo, Harry Kane, they're having great tournaments. And Messi had a chance. Argentina had a chance. And once again, Argentina walks off the field in a game they obviously wanted to win, but against an opponent they could have beaten. I mean, France is one of the top in the world, but this is all going to come down to Messi. You wait till the articles come out. Be Messi this, Messi that. That's all it's going to be. Speaking of Messi, we're going to talk with the Messi of Kansas City soccer from NBCSports.com, Andy Edwards, coming up. We'll talk World Cup. We'll talk Sporting KC on the road at Montreal, a game you can hear live at 6 p.m. here on Sports Radio 810 WHB, followed by the final whistle with Dave Borchardt. We will take our end of the hour timeout back with hour number 3. Jed Marshall is here. My name is Brad Porter. You're listening to Sports Saturday, Sports Radio 810 WHB, live in the Rally House studios. Back with more right after this.
This is Sports Saturday with Brad Porter on Sports Radio 810 WHB.